Morning, everybody. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pin this over here and I'm going to start recording as well. Okay, good morning and welcome. It is a beautiful morning in the neighborhood and it's lovely to see everybody. Thank you for joining. Today we're going to be learning on the topic of the consistent light, the Ner Tamed. And I would like to start off by first of all welcoming everybody and thanking everybody for taking the time this morning. We're going to be learning today for two occasions. First of all, we're thanking Mark and Rina Questel for sponsoring this morning's learning together, for honoring the engagement of Ezra to Ilana Lefkowitz of West Hampstead. Be'ezras Hashem, the wedding should be B'sha'a Tova U'Mutzlach. That's a beautiful, beautiful simcha to be celebrating. And it
Amen.
is very much a shul simcha. Ezra's grown up here all the way through, and in Metz Hashem, we should have the opportunity of all being together for that simcha this summer, God willing. I want to also thank Baruch and Esther Weinstein, who are now sponsoring for the Yahrzeit, which was just this last Friday, of Baruch's brother Chaim Pesach ben Mordechai. Unfortunately, I did not personally have the opportunity of meeting him. But through the years, around this time of year especially, I've grown to appreciate and learn just how special individual he was. And not just a person who expressed incredible resilience, but a person who also expressed tremendous positivity. And I think that something we can all do today is to find one moment to find something we can say Baruch Hashem excellent about, which was something that he would always do. And it should be an aliyas neshama for him and a continued chizuk for his mishpacha, for Baruch and Esther's mishpacha, always. And that's Hashem. We are going to address the second part of our series this morning, and that is Ner Tamed. Trying to understand the Ner Tamed, we have one right over here in our shul. Above the Aron, in so many shuls, there is a candle which stays lit. Today, we have LED lights. It's less energy dependent. But the question is where does this come from? What is the history behind this? What is the meaning? What is the symbolism of this? So I'd like to just try to address this from a few different angles as we spend this time reconnecting to our shul. Let's start at the very beginning. So there's the one basic question we could ask ourselves is, what is the Ner Tamed for? What is its function? Why do we have it in our shul in the first place? So truth be told, is that the one thing it isn't is functional for light. That's the first and most important point that we need to start off with. And why I say this, so there's a lot of just interesting halachic shalas which surround this question. As an example, so the question becomes is, of using a candle for Havdalah. What kind of candles do we use for Havdalah? So the Sefer Tamei HaMenhagim quotes a number of different reasons why it is that we hold our hands up, we hold our fingers up towards the Havdalah candle. One reason which is given is because in a certain sense that reflects the nails, and the Gemara tells us that when Adam and Chava were first created, they were covered in this, so to speak, nail-like substance. The last part that was left was the edges of our fingers, so we remember pre-chet what that experience. But there's another explanation that, which is a much more practical one, and that is because we try to benefit from the light. And so the easiest way to benefit from the light is to use a part of the body which is reflective. Most skin is not as reflective as nails. So we use it to contrast the darkness within our hand and the light reflected off our nails. It's one of the reasons why we do that. And at the end of this, he says, this is in the Sefer Tamei HaMenhagim, in the first source, he says three lines from the bottom. He says, four lines from the bottom, oid time, lefi shem levonim, uvohem ne'aneh me'oraner biroisam. So he quotes the Sefer HaTanya, who says that when you put your hands out, you can see the light off the edges of your fingernails by looking at the light. And therefore, if that's the case, if I'm supposed to be benefiting from the light, I should only be using a candle which can actually provide light which I'm supposed to be gaining. And therefore, he disqualifies La'afuke Ner Tamed Shel Beis HaKnesses. That should therefore disqualify using the Ner Tamed. Now, today, us, we have these very energy-efficient little LED bulbs, or these little filaments over here. But in the good days, a Ner Tamed was a Ner Tamed. It was literally a candle in the shul. So what the Sefer HaMinhagim is saying, you come to shul, you're finishing Avdalah, and like it happens every Avdalah, the Avdalah candle doesn't light. Right, that lighter wasn't working, the candle wasn't working, and everybody's sitting there. So why don't you just go and use the Havdalah candle of the Ner Tavid? Says the Sefer HaMinhagim. No, it's not Asui Lahair. It's not meant to be lighting up, bringing light to the room. If that's the case, you shouldn't be using it. So before going further, the first thing we should realize is, what is the function of the Ner Tavid? And the answer is not for light. It wasn't for light. It wasn't meant for light. Ad kedei kach, halachically speaking, we should not use it as part of the Hadalah ceremony. So if that's what it is not for, then what is it for? What is the function of this very unique element in a shul? I'm sure that people have had this experience where they've come into shul and the lights aren't on. You come in at the very end, you come in the very beginning, you have to drop something off, you find something, and there's always the lights are all off, and there you see the Ner Tamid. The Ner Tamid's glowing in the dark. It's a very surreal experience to see the Ner Tamid. It's on all the time. So the question is what is its function? So what I'd like to do is explore it from a number of different angles together today. We're going to look at some different spectrums of understanding of the Ner Tamid. Idea number one is understanding lights in shul in general. Why does shul need lights? And yes, the person who provides this, there's a mishabera for that person, ner lamor, right? When it talks about when the person who provides the candles in the shul, they get a special bracha. Where does that come from itself? So, there are a few fascinating sources. One is a little bit of an obscure pasuk, which is in Sefer Yeshayahu in the 24th parak. Yeshayahu is talking over here, and he says a very interesting thing. He says, Al kain ba'urim kibdu Hashem. Through light, we honor Hashem, he says in the second source. I sent out those sources last night, but to make it a little easier, what I am going to also do is I am going to screen share to make it a little bit easier over here. Here we go. Okay, excellent. So Sefer Yeshayahu says, Al kain ba'urim kabdu Hashem. Yom Shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael. You should honor Hashem with lights. So what does that mean? So there's a number of interpretations. One of them is the Ritva, who says in Beitzah, Daf Yudalad, very, very beautiful interpretation. He says, Umash nohagu lahadlik neiros beveis hakneses letzorech tfilas arvis nearly time amishum de neiros beveis hakneses lav lahayir lechud avidu ela lekavoid. Says the candles in shul in general are not only functional for light, but they are functional as honor of the shul. And that's why they're lit even during the day, even when they're less necessary for a fuel-efficient congregation. That's what the Ritva says. According to the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Rabbi Yeva bar Kahana Omar Be'elo Pan Saiso. So the Ritva quotes this obscure medrash, which says, based on this pasuk in Yeshayahu, how is that we honor Hashem? We honor Hashem by bringing candles to the Beis HaKnesses, by bringing light into the house of Hashem. And this is what the old shuls used to look like. The old shuls used to have candles all over. And one of the functions of them was not simply being able to see the Siddur at night, but it was honoring the shul. Fascinating halacha, fascinating derivation of this halacha as well. It should be noted, for anybody who's got good Yekish blood in their veins, when I grew up, one of the shuls I used to daven in was the Adas Yeshurun of Johannesburg, and everything was very, very precise, as it is in Yekish shuls. There was the gabbai who would, you know, if a light bulb had 100 hours on it, you know, at 99 3/4 hours, he would be changing all the bulbs. He knew when, you know, he particularly know which one had reached its 99 3/4 hours. But as beyond even just that, they would have a special series of bulbs that were on for different days. So on a Monday and a Thursday, there were certain lights that were on. On a Shabbos, different lights. On a Yom Tov, different lights. They were on. Different constellations of bulbs were switched on in Adas Yeshurun. Because things run as they should, which is just also goes to the idea of Neiros are a notion of Kavod, not just simply Lahair, says the Ritva. That's why in numerous halachic sources, you see this reflected. So as an example, Aruch HaShulchan says explicitly in the fourth source, he says, Since we know that we're supposed to honor the day, the holy day, as we're supposed to, quoting our pasuk in Yeshaya, over tirgum mefarish panasaya, which means with these lamps, kolomar be'oirois shel panasim, v'chein aminag l'chaberes ha'melech be'urim b'gdolim. We know that when the king comes out, you bring out these large torches. Even today in Yerushalayim, when they do a hachnasa sefer Torah, they hand out all these torches to everybody. All the kids are holding torches as they escort the Torah down the road. It's an aspect of honor. V'lachein nagu kol Yisrael l'harbos b'neiros l'kovod yom ha'kodesh hazeh, v'chein b'vat ha'knesios l'chein. So he says on holy days, especially on Yom Kippur, there would be a special minhag to light candles. In fact, it's interesting, in Halacha there's a whole discussion, is what happens if the lights are off on Yom Kippur? Can you ask a non-Jew to switch on the lights when it comes to this, when it's not necessarily functional, which is for kavod? But the Aruch HaShulchan is showing us how important this notion of kavod is, and especially so on especially holy days. So much so that, in fact, the Sefer Pela Yoetz, describing this, says a very interesting thing, which is still practiced today. He says, therefore, in the fifth source, in the third line, he says that it's interesting. I know that there were very special people who would take pride in being the ones to light the candles in shul. They wouldn't allow even the Gabbai to do it. They would make sure, they would ensure that they were the ones to change the bulbs, to light the candles, to provide the wax. There are places, there are certain shuls where they would actually sell this as a kibbud. So yes, there'd be Nu'ilah on Yom Kippur, and there'd also be the Neros, the Ner Lama'or, the candles for the shul. U'bevala shezeu chibov mitzvah, u'minag yofehu. He says this is obviously a great endearment of the mitzvah, and it is a great honor. This is the way things should be done, says the Peleoites. And you'll notice that a lot of times you'll see a building dedication. Let's say they're making a new shul. One of the things which is listed is Ner Lama'or. And it's not just because we're looking for another kibbud. This actually refers to a specific idea that the shul should be lit. It's a kavod to the shul to have lights. And perhaps one could argue that the Ner Tamid is in a function of that's so to speak the expression of that today, certainly to a certain degree. So this is number one. On a very, very basic level, is there's a notion of honoring one's shul, is a notion of having honor in one's place of worship, which is expressed by the fact that we have lights, and it is a very special mitzvah ad kedei kach, that it is a dedication, it is an opportunity of honoring. But it goes further than that. Why is it that it's a notion of honor? If we wanted to sort of get into the mechanics, why is it so special? Why specifically in a shul is it so critical? So one of the earliest places that talks about what we call the Ner Tamid in shul today is the Sefer Kolboy. With a little bit of an obscure authorship, it is one of the great halachic sforim of the medieval ages. And he says a very, very fascinating thing, and this explains some of the mechanics as to why it is specifically that we have a Ner Tamid in shul. He says, this is actually in the sixth source over here, where he says, the following. And this is one of the earliest writings which talks about this explicitly. Because of HaRebi Asher, Zal, Nagu Kola Olam, Lahadlik Ner Beveis HaKnesses, Kodim Shikones Odom Shom Nisparel. It should be a lit, before anybody enters Shul, V'nir Be'enai, Kitam HaMinagu, Hazeh Mishum. It's the reason is this because it says asara kadmo shchina va'asya. When you have 10 people, the shchina, Hashem's presence, arrives. Al kein sorich lahadlik haner ulahakdim v'oid mimnei shekeno yu oisem ha'migdash. Because they did it in the Migdash, but also because as a notion of anticipating, it seems, the shchina which is waiting for the people to congregate to create the minyan, which of course today is very, very apropos, because we're thinking about that specifically now, when we just at this juncture in time just don't have that opportunity, at least in our location, to be able to do that now. That's something which should mean a lot to us. The Ner Tamid is this notion of anticipating the Shechina, which is to be found in the presence of the Minyan, which is why we light it before, in fact, people arrive in shul, says the Kolboy. That's one of the reasons why we light this candle. Note again that this over here is clearly not a functional candle. This is clearly not something which is for the use of light necessarily. It's that before people come, It's an expression of the recognition of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is found among the people. So this is just an expression of, I would say, perhaps the mechanics of why it is. This is not about candles in general. It seems like a very specific candle which is lit, and that is one of the precursors of, well, not the precursors of what we call a Ner Tamid, at least in halachic literature. But it goes further than that. He has another suggestion as to the mechanics of this. And this is to be found, interestingly enough, and let's read the source and tell me if you see anything which is Ner Tamid-esque in this next source. Not so simple. Take a look at this. This is a very fascinating moment in history. So this moment in history occurs when David HaMelech dearly wants to bring he wants to create the Beis HaMikdash. He feels that it's inappropriate for him to be living in such a luxurious lifestyle as a king. When the Aaron is found besoicha yiriya, when the Aaron is in a state not less than appropriate, so what does he do? He asks to bring, he brings the Aaron to Yerushalayim. And it isn't so successful the first attempt. The first attempt, what happens is that there's an individual by the name of Uzzah who's trying to carry it, and he sees the Aaron slipping. He reaches out and he dies upon touching the Aaron. We talked a little bit about some of the powers of the Aaron last week when we looked at finding the lost ark. But it's, nonetheless, this is what happens, this is what happens after that event. It says, Vayirod David es Hashem Vayomahu. He's worried now, how can I bring the ark to my house? Because there's no mikdash at this point in time. Because he's just seen the death that it created. So rather, David Beis Oved Edom Hagiti. So he turns it to the house of Beis Oved Edom. This individual, he lives near Yerushalayim. He's a Jewish person, despite the fact that he's called Hagiti. It probably means, according to many of the Forshim, that Gat is a Philistine city down the coast. It probably means to say that he was a trader there, so he became known as the Giti. Nonetheless, there's a lot of interesting explanations as to these kind of appellations. Vayoshev Aaron Hashem, Vayeshev Aaron Hashem Beis Oved Edom Hagiti Shlosha Chadashim. So he left it in this person's house. Oved Edom, and it Vayvorech Hashem es Oved Edom es Kol Beis. And Oved Edom was supremely blessed because of this hosting of the Aaron in his house. Fascinating, and this showed David HaMelech that the Aaron was not, so to speak, going to bring curse or going to bring klala on people. It was going to now give them some sort of degree of support and help, which led David HaMelech to attempt again. What is interesting is why was his house blessed? What was it that he did to it? So I found a fascinating source in the Shlach HaKadosh. The Shlach says a fascinating insight. He says, this actually relates to our practice about the lights in Shul. Why? Why should that have anything to do with it? Pray tell. He says, Od b'ma'alos ha'neiros b'medrash. The idea of candles in the Midrash, it says, he quotes Midrash, he says, Dovor Acher Tzavis Bnei Yisrael Bar Kapra Kposa Ki Ato Toir Neri Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll light my candle. Hashem says La Adam Nercha Biyadi V'Neri Biyadcha. Listen to that beautiful, beautiful statement. Your candle is in my hands. My candle is in your hands. That's what the Medrash says. Beautiful again. Neri Biyadcha Nercha Biyadi. What does that mean? So he says, Nercha biyadi, your candle is in my hands, says Hashem. What does that mean? Sheneemar ner Hashem nishmas Adam. The candle of Hashem is the soul of the human being. Which means, what is Hashem saying? Neiri biyadcha, I placed my flame in your hands. I, by the fact that you wake up every single morning, you know that there's something inside of you which is burning, which is me, says Hashem. My candle's there. I've lit something special. You're not an ape. You're not a primate. You're much more. You're a spark of me. You're a piece of the divine, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My candle is in you, in your hand. That's what Hashem says to us. However, Neiri biyodcha, la'alois ner tamid, that refers to, what does it mean that my candle is in your hands? It is to erase the candle or the light always. Elamar Kodesh Baruch Hu, im he'arta neiri, hareini me'ir nercha. If you light my candle, I will light your candle. Havitzaves bnei Yisrael adkan l'shonai. V'lakach roi lahadlik neros b'ves haknesses. That's why we light candles in the shul. V'oyd b'med she'oyved edom nisparech b'shil shekibed ha'aron she'yamadlik ner echad shachris ner echad arvis. What was the secret that Oyved Edom had? Wasn't that he just kept it in the storeroom? It wasn't that he had an air-conditioned basement. The point was that he lit a candle in front of the Aaron as a sign of respect. That was one of the ways he showed respect, which is why his house was blessed, says the Shloh HaKadosh. So again, we see this dual direction over here. In a certain sense, Hashem preserves in us the neshama, which He gives us, and symbolically, we light the candles in the Beis HaKnesses. We light this candle as a response, so to speak, this dual direction of connection. That's a very powerful Shloh HaKadosh, of the idea of sort of the candles residing in each other's abode, so to speak. Hashem's candle in our abode, and in Hashem's abode, our candles are lit. If we're willing to light the candles in the abode, in the place of Hashem, Hashem retains the candles within our abode. That's a very, very beautiful, very powerful description that the Shloh HaKadosh is saying over here. And I found also, interesting enough, in an additional source, this is not in the sources I sent out last night, but I just had to add it because I felt it was very beautiful, is the Ben Ishchai from Baghdad said a very, very beautiful thing as well, he says, just adding on this little point here. He says, Nir Ali, B'Zer Ishmael, Halev Nikra Mizbeach, V'lachen HaMizbeach, Hoya Leiv, Lud Lamed Beis Amo, V'Oitz HaRatoru Hu Halev, Alkein B'Miloy Halev, Koze, Le'andom HaBeis Hu, Oistio Estomid, Remes Shetiya Torah Munachas Toichalev Bitmidos. He says, what element of the body relates to the Mizbeach, to the altar? The altar was 32 cubits by 32 cubits, and 32 is the numerical value of Lamed Beis. So when it says, Eish Tomid Tukad al Mizbeach lo Yisichbeh, when it talks about the constant fire on the Mizbeach, what it means to say is Bilvavi Mishkan Evner is that in my own heart I'll build the Mishkan, in my own heart the Mizbeach, the light of Torah should always be lit symbolically in this respect. So of course I think this relates a little bit to what the Shloh HaKadosh is saying, is the notion of that there's a representation of the light in one's heart relating to the light in the shul as well, which is the Eish Tamed Tukad al Mizbeach lo Yisichbeh. Fascinating suggestion. But now we come back to, so what we've done is we've looked at a few angles. We've looked at the fact that there's this idea of honoring a shul by having candles lit in it, especially on holy days of the year, as the Aruch HaShulchan says. There's some interesting halachas which is around that. We looked at some of the structure of that. We looked at some of the thought process behind it, the Kolboy's idea of the presence of the Shekhinah found in the shul, which is why we do this, and the deepening of that idea of the Shloh HaKadosh based on the Medrash, which describes that this is Nerecha B'Yadi, this is your candle in my place, which is what you light as a reflection of the fact that Neri B'Yadcha, that my candle's in your place. So it's a very, very beautiful description. But I think it comes back to even a more simple idea, which we've seen beforehand, and that is the notion of the Zecher LeMikdash, which we saw the Kolboy mention as well. A remembrance to the Beis HaMikdash. Why is this a remembrance to the Beis HaMikdash? Well, we know that the Beis HaMikdash had a constant and ner tamed. That is in the next source, which is to be found in a source 4, which is the We know that the candle needs to be lit on the menorah constantly. And here's the funny thing. I was just looking at it this morning because it's not just the candle. How many things does the Torah talk about being tamid? How many things does the Torah talk about as being tamid, as being always? So it's certainly not just the menorah. Interestingly enough, as the Ben Ishchai already was hinting to, there are many things. So I took the liberty of adding them to the sources now. This is not in the sources I sent out last night to print, but I just want to add these extra additional points here. And that this to me is fascinating. First of all, when it comes to the Lechem Aponim, V'nosat al Shulchan Lechem Aponim l'fonai tamid. The Lechem Aponim are in front of Hashem always. What else? Well, we know about the menorah. That was more obvious to us. It says La'alois ner tamid is by the menorah. We got that. What about going beyond this? The Choshen Mishpat. When it comes to the breastplate worn by the Kohen Gadol, it says Nosata el Choshen Mishpat is Aron v'Oyo al Lev Aron b'Voy lifnei Hashem v'Nosa Aron es Mishpat b'nei Yisrael He would wear this always. So again, the Choshen Mishpat was worn always. Moreover, another aspect of the Big Day Kohuna was always. So the tzitz itself was on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol always. Then, of course, we have what is called the Korban Tamid, that is the constant sacrifice which is brought every morning and every evening. That was another aspect of Tamid. And finally, Ketores, Uvalos Aronis and Neros Ben Arbaim Yaktirana, Ketores Tamid Lifnei Hashem Ador Zechem. The Ketores was Tamid, and Eish Tamid Tuchala Mizbeach Leisichbeh. There was a constant flame on the Mizbeach. So when we think about Tamid, it's not just the Ner Tamid, it's not just the menorah, it was the Shulchan, it was the Mizbeach HaKetores, it was the Korban Tamid, it was the Choshen, it was the Tzitz, and the Eish Tamid Tuchan Ala Mizbeach, which Lichora would refer to the outside Mizbeach. So just to appreciate this, when we talk about that notion of Tamidus, and we try to trace back what our Ner Tamid could be referring to, it would it's seen that it's not simply just the menorah. Yes, it is a light. Yes, it reflects the menorah. But I would argue that in a certain sense, it encompasses a lot of the aspects of Tamid in the Beis HaMikdash as a whole. That's a very different perspective of appreciation. Interestingly enough, if we research that a little more, I just came across the Ralbag, who says a very fascinating thing. He says, and this is, of course, quoting the Gemara, but he points out that there is a dispute as to what does it mean Eish Tamid Tukal Al Mizbeach. He says that he ma'areches shlishis yarechenu l'ba'oifen shetukal al mizbeach k'moy shekodem ba'marachos ha'arecheros. He points out that there were three pyres, there were three burning wood piles on the external mizbeach. Remember, it was a large area, it was 32 by 32 cubits. So it was a large area. They had three piles of burning logs. And one of them was a smaller one, just to always be lit. That would be the source of lighting the Mizbeach HaKetores. This would be the source of lighting the menorah, in fact, as well, based on the Gemara and Yuma. Which means there was a certain level of connection between these different notions of Tamid. There would be this eternal flame, so to speak, this continually fed flame, which was on the external Mizbeach, which is where the Karbanos were brought. And it would be used as the constant source to reignite the menorah every time it was cleaned. And also, it would be the source of the Mizbeach HaKetores to bring the light, to bring the fire to the internal Mizbeach, which the Ketores was brought, which would be facing the Aron. So there seems to be automatically, even in the service, there is this very, very beautiful and connected notion. Let's take a little further than this. It is interesting that when it comes down to the Ner Tamid, and you're to say, well, what does the Ner Tamid reflect in the menorah per se? What is the menorah referring to? So we always say, well, there's this notion of what's called the Ner Ma'arovi, right? We've all heard that concept, the Western flame in the menorah. We know that there was some sort of miracle about that Western flame. Let's delve a little bit into that. Not so simple what that actually refers to. So here's one of the source pads for this that we can jump from the first platform of description. The Mishnah in Tamid tells us again, this Meseches Tamid is a set of Mishnayos and Gemara, which describe the basic daily function of the Beis HaMikdash and describes what was done first and second and third and fourth, all the different daily services. So the Mishnah tells us at the end of the third parak, there would be one person who would win the vote to do the cleaning out, the cleaning out of the ashes of the menorah. He came in and he found the two eastern lights burning. He would clean the other five. And he would leave these burning in their place. However, if he found them that they had already gone out, then he would light it from those which are already left, and then he would clean out the rest. And it describes how there was a staircase they would use to climb up to the menorah. There's an even that they would use to climb up to it. What is it referring to over here? What is happening here? So just there's a lot of different summaries of this, but here's a very useful summary of this discussion over here, which is to be found in the Bar Tanura, Rav Avadia Bar Tanura. It's fascinating. Long before I knew about wine, Whenever you say the word Bar Tanura, you automatically think about Rav Avadya Bar Tanura. Anybody who's learned in Yeshiva, that's the first thing one thinks about. One doesn't think blue and bubbles. One thinks about Rav Avadya Bar Tanura, one of the great sages. It's fascinating. Bar Tanura had some zechus that the city of Bar Tanura in Spain has some sort of memory because there was a great individual who lived there. And this is who we're going to take a look at right now, who has a commentary on all of Mishnayos, standard on every page of Mishnayos. And before Kahati came along with expansions and very simple explanations, the Bar Tanura has always been the go-to. So here's what he says. He says, Vahani Mili, the idea that the candles were still lit, Bizman She'en Hanes. Oh, Bizman She'en Hanes, sorry. When there was no candles lit, that's when there was no miracle. Kegoin, La'achar Meshemes Shimon HaTzadik. Before Shimon HaTzadik died. Now, so who was Shimon HaTzadik? So from our Perikah Avos days, we're already in Perikah Avos now, we're already 3 weeks in. So Shimon HaTzadik appears in the first perek of Pirkei Avos, and the reason is because he was, as the Mishnah tells us, Mishiyure Anshei Knesset Agdola. He was the last, one of the last card-carrying members of Anshei Knesset Agdola. Who were Anshei Knesset Agdola? Well, they were this body of leadership which was formed at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, including the last of the prophets, Chagai, Zechariah, Melachi, Ezra and Nehemiah were part of it, Mordechai, Esther were part of this large assembly of leadership which existed. So Shimon HaTzadik was the tail end of that generation. Shimon HaTzadik was already now meeting, we see with the Greeks, we know of the famous Gemaras over here. So Shimon HaTzadik was a very fascinating individual. Now before I go on, I'm actually going to just make sure that even though my computer is plugged in, it doesn't seem to be charging, so I'm going to make sure that's going to continue. Otherwise, Aaron Neratom is going to go off in a second. Just 1 moment. Fantastic. Okay. Our time it is reconnected and we are back in business. Okay. So now, let's take a little further in the Bar Tanura here. He says, what happened before Shimon HaTzadik died? And remember, Shimon HaTzadik is seen as a certain connection to the past. He's seen as a way of being bridging between the times of prophecy and beyond. So it says, "Avol kodem shemes Shimon HaTzadik." Before he passed away, shaya ner ma'aravi doilek tamid b'derech neis. The western candle would burn constantly in a miraculous fashion. Kedatanya michutz la'pareches ha'edus, that outside the curtain of the testimony, edus hu shashchina shara b'Yisrael. It was a testimony that the Shechina was dwelling among Israel. So he says the following: Zu ner ma'aravi shenoisen b'ashem and kemidas chavruseha. What was the testimony? They would put the equal amount of oil every single night in the candles, like the other ones. Umimena hayam maschil, and he would start with that candle. Uba hayam esayim, and he would finish with it. Ukeshaya bala heitiv ashteiner asam izrachios loya imadashin ela nera rishon bilvad umetivoy maniach anera sheni. So he'd light it first, but nonetheless, when he came back to it, it was one of the candles which was still alight, and he would use it to light the new round when you clean the other one. So there would be this miraculous, continuous process of this constant light which was found in the Ner Ma'aravi, and that would be the symbol that it was, so to speak, the Eidos, that the Shechina was still found there. Now, by the way, just as an interesting aside, we're at the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, where most of the miracles were not there. It was clear the Shechina was not there. It was clear that the Aaron was not there explicitly, as we know from last week, it perhaps was hiding in the chambers beneath the Beis HaMikdash. But nonetheless, all explicit miracles were gone, and in a certain sense, prophecy was ebbing out, which perhaps is reflective of this idea of the direct communication of the divine and the human being is ebbing away, and it's reflected in this miracle. In the evening, they would clean it out again. So once a day, they would clean out the snare, and that's when it would be. That's when they would attend to it. So now, ba'af agav dichsiv be'tivoy esaneros deina tova pachos mishtaim. It seems that you need to clear it out. If you're clearing it out, it has to be at least two of them. Hachi aditzeh lo lahetiv kiim ner echad min hashtei neros mizrachios ulaniach haner hasheni doilek ilo lativara erev. So he points out, okay, so even though it was cleaning out the candles, and one of them was done later, and one of them was done earlier. That's sufficient to address the plurality of that word. Okay, so it goes into the furthest. What is interesting is actually, if you notice in the Mishnah, where were the candles that were remaining? Which side of the menorah were they? So it says that they were the easterly candles. So why is it called the westerly candle? Right? The Mishnah had said, let's go back to the Mishnah for a second. The Mishnah had said, he found the easterly candles that were burning. So what's the Ner Maravi? So the answer is that it was the westmost one of the easterly facing ones that remained. Which means that most of the pictures you've ever seen of the Ner Maravi are incorrect. It is the second from the end which is the Ner Maravi, because remember there were two which were burning. They cleaned out the endmost one, which was the eastmost candle, leaving the west of the eastmost candle lit. That was the Ner Ma'aravi. So it's not the westernmost candle, it was the west of the two, which was the one which was called the Ner Ma'aravi. Just as a fascinating insight over here. Maybe it perhaps burst some bubbles, but nonetheless, that is really what was going on over there. And I think that in a certain sense, what is being described over here in this Mishnah over here, as the Baruch Torah is explaining based on the Braisa, is exactly that point. Is the idea that encompassed in the Ner Ma'aravi, in what we remember throughout the generations, in a certain sense, is the last little light of showing that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the times of Shimon HaTzadik, it was miraculous, and today it's not miraculous. We pay the electricity bill, we can see where it's coming from. But that's precisely the point. We keep up that relationship, even ourselves. We're doing the idea, as the Shlach says, Neri biyodcha. There's a certain, or Nercha biyodi, your candle's in my place. We're continuing to show that we want that connection, even though it isn't as obvious and as miraculous as it was beforehand. Which is why I think that it's not just symbolic of the past, I believe it is pushing us towards the future. Here is another element the Shlach HaKadosh adds to this. He says, La'alos ner tamid. He says, Mikan remes shetamid lo yechzar ad lokos ner. Even though we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, we no longer have the menorah, we no longer have the mizbech, we no longer have the lechem aponim, mikol makom mitzvahu lahadlik ner beveis haknesses shenikra mikdash ma'at v'yedoylek erev uvoike b'shas ha'tfilah. It should be that there should be a candle always lit. Ki ha'tfilah hi b'makom avodas ha'korbanos beveis HaMikdash. We have tefillah in place of the service of old. U'kedumeli shemitzvah zu ashal lakos ner beveis haknesses b'shas ha'tfilah kosov gam kem sefer menorah sma'or. He quotes the earlier sefer menorah sma'or, which references this idea. So the Shlach HaKadosh is saying, this is our attempt, it is our way of trying to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is where, and show ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our midst, that the shul is holy, the shul is a special place to come. And that's why I would say one last step over here, and that's the Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah. The Midrash says, Michutz la'poreches ha'idus bo'oel mo'ed, ya'rochosai, that this is the pasuk which the Baruch Tanur was quoting, Omer Rebbe Loz ben Shamua, b'yizchus ya'roich t'natzlu min, in second, let's see over here, you will be saved from. I think we have a little bit of a mix up in this printing over here. Ki oruch be'a small. Omer Rebbe Chanin b'zchus alalois ner tamid atem zoichem lahakbul p'nei neiro shel melech ha-moshiach. So the point that I wanted to get to was the second line. Rebbe Chanin would say that in the zchus of lighting the ner tamid, in terms of lighting this candle, doing our hishtadlus, doing our connection, making sure that we are lighting those candles in the houses of Hashem, that will be the way that we bring in the Mashiach Tzidkenu. Which is fascinating, because in a certain sense, what the Midrash is saying, what the Shlach HaKadosh is also saying, is that the Ner Tamid isn't looking backwards, but it's looking forwards. It's not simply commemorating, but it's anticipating. And that's what's being held over here. I want to add one last little twist to this, which I thought is fascinating, is that there was a study which was done, and I think the study is so relevant for today, and that is that the consistency in habits is actually a good predictor for the outcome of children. For outcome of children, they found that they did research in Africa and across a number of European cities where they took preteens, teens, and they tracked them along the way, and they looked at their schedule. They found that kids who had scheduled bedtimes, scheduled leisure times, everything was scheduled meal times with the rest of the family, had a much higher likelihood of going to college and leading a stable life. Now, going to college is not necessarily the only way that a person can lead a stable life, but that was one of the way that they tracked it. Fascinating. And so it goes back to a very beautiful comment of Aaron Levine, Zeicher Tzadik Livracha, would say. There's a famous idea, which is that the Korban Tamid is brought in the morning and the evening. It says, Olas Tamid, Asiyah Ben Amorim, there would be an Olas Tamid, which is brought in the morning. It was the first Korban of the day. It was the last Korban of the day as well. The Korban Tamid framed the whole experience of the Beis HaMikdash. It was the first thing that could be brought and the last. What is interesting about the Korban Tamid, so Rav Aaron Levine says, is that there's one Korban Tamid which is brought in the morning, and there's a Korban Tamid brought in the afternoon. And he says that if we are able to have the Tmidius, that consistency in our lives in the morning, in the youth of our lives, then ultimately we will also have the Korban Tamid in the age, the maturity of our lives as well. If we have schedule, if we have consistency, if we have goals, if we have values at the beginning of our lives, there's going to be a much higher likelihood that at the end of our lives we're going to live stable lives living by those values. But if it's all haphazard, if we get up when we want, we do what we want when we want, we eat what we want when we want, we engage in whatever relationships whenever we want, that lack of stability will continue, unfortunately, into our later lives, if there's not that stability, those values, that schedule, that regiment in our lives as well. I think it's such a powerful idea reflecting that notion. But I don't think it's only personal. I don't think it's only about our individual lives as being led with discipline in our youth and our age. But in a certain sense, I think it's also, so to speak, with Klal Yisrael. We started off with Tamid. We started off with a menorah, a mizbeach hachitzon, a mizbeach hapnimi, a lechem aponim, which were all Tamid. We had all of this Tamidus, which is why now even bein ha'arboim, even in the afternoon, even when it's a little darker, even when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we continue to light the Ner Tamid to remind us of that moment that we anticipate for with Metzah Hashem, when we bring that Tamidus back into our lives. B'mherev Yomeinu, we should have the zchus. As the Midrash says, that in the zchus of lighting that Ner Tamid, we should be able to see our Kodesh Baruch Hu bring back Mashiach Tamid b'mehirah v'yamenu, and very soon back to our own Ner Tamids in our shul. Thank you for